Today on Snail Trail 4x4, Tyler speaks Spanish and Jimmy dreams of tacos. Today's episode of Snail Trail 4x4 is brought to your ear holes by
Sneedy's Off-Road is your number one source for custom and aftermarket products for your 4x4, ATV, and side-by-sides. Quality parts that don't break your bank. If we don't have what you're looking for, we'll get it. Sneedy's Off-Road. The trail starts here.
Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and of course, hearing about how awesome Toyotas in the wintry wonderlands are, then this is the podcast for you. That's right, everybody. I am your host today, Tyler, sitting here on the other side of the recording table. It's a magnificent table. It's a very big, glorious, like, executive-style table we have here in the studio.
It's like a 3x3 card table. Don't ruin
the illusion. Don't pull back the layers, Jimmy. Is my incredible co-host, Jimmy Black. Jim James, how are you?
I am wonderful, but my knee still hurts.
You need to stop running.
I know. I just think I'm going to
stop
working
out. Your body
is
telling you that you do not need to exercise.
You're getting old.
That's the other thing it's telling you.
You just had your month of November.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, speaking of months, this is now December. So, welcome everybody into December.
Is it?
It is. December 2nd, I believe, is when this podcast goes live into people's ear holes. Yep. December 2nd. El Mundo.
It is December.
So, geez, it's already December.
I know. That's crazy.
So, how's that planning coming along on the party?
It's going great. Okay. We got a really good sponsor lined up.
Oh, really?
Yep. Have you heard of them?
Morphlate?
Yep.
How did I know? Nice. They're great guys. I love the Morphlate guys. They're fantastic. They're great sponsors. They do not. They have requested for me to let everybody know to not be asking for sponsorships now.
Oh yeah, you got enough already?
Yeah, for now. it's really cool. The Morphlates are coming along. We're doing a. Well, I guess this is the wrong episode to be announcing it on. We need to put it on the other ones, but we did the Black Friday sale, so it was a big hit.
Nice. So glad to hear it.
We're going to have a Christmas sale as well. So that'll start December 15th, I think, is when we're going to start it. So December 15th, and it'll run through the end of the month. We're going to do our best to get everything shipped out in time for Christmas, but no guarantees. So
got it.
We're still a small company and have very low labor rates, so we don't get to hire a lot of people.
Yeah. That's so funny. The secretary's fingers get hurt.
They do. Yeah, she's quitting already, and I was like, you can't quit, I'm firing you. And she goes, you can't fire me, you don't pay me. I was like, oh, that is true. So, everything's going well. How's everything in your life other than the knee and getting old and falling apart?
Good. Yeah, things are going well. Good. I'm excited for the month of December and seeing what we can pull together.
Can we build you a wheelchair on like 30s?
I'm sure we can.
Yes.
It'll probably be, we'll build it out of a samurai.
Ooh, there you go. Convert a samurai into a wheelchair.
Yeah, there you go.
That'd be good. Funny story about that. My grandfather had open heart surgery a few months back.
Oh, no.
And while he was recovering, you know, he just doesn't have the energy to get up and walk around. So he got a wheelchair for a while.
Okay.
And it was squeaking. His suspension was squeaking when he was bouncing around places. And so I had to go and take apart his wheelchair and grease the suspension, the wheel bearings, and other stuff in it. But man, that thing floated like a cloud when I was done with it.
What a good grandson you are.
Yes, I is. So Yeah, so we're going to be able to get your wheelchair up and running, no problem, I promise.
Sweet. I'm sure we can maneuver or manufacture, I think is the word I wanted to use. Pretty spiffy looking one.
You know, we have, if you wanted to get a Toyota wheelchair, we have a listener that's selling a Daihatsu rocker, rock whatever, rock something.
I don't know what they're called.
I looked it up, though. It's a very tiny vehicle.
It is.
We could turn that into your wheelchair.
We could use that for a gambler build, maybe.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
We need to use the vehicles we have.
I know. and stop collecting more.
Yes.
Yes.
And speaking of, I want to build a pre-runner for next year.
Oh, yeah? Actually, that's sort of on a bucket list of mine, too.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, we'll get into that, dive into that a little bit later in the episode here. But first, we want to say thank you. Huge thank you. We just had Thanksgiving, and I realized that while we said thank you to our people and the Patreons in our last episode, we never, like, gave something that we were, like, thankful for from this year. So I wanted to give a chance to say, what are you thankful for? Yeah, and this year, as we're heading into the end of the year and finishing up the first 8 months of Snail Trail 4x4 podcast, and this is going to be your 2.5 years for the YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's going on there, man? What are you thankful for?
Well, I'm thankful for all the friendships and people that I've met along the way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is just a crazy adventure that we're doing.
Yeah, it is.
And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And the opportunities that are coming around and everything that's happening just because of us talking into some mics.
Right.
You know, it's really, really cool. And I want to thank everybody for helping us and supporting us and, you know, being a part of this adventure with us.
Yeah. So mine's kind of along those same lines. Mine is the community aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I like building communities around stuff that I do and that I have a passion for.
Yeah.
And so being able to, like you said, just sitting here talking into microphones with you, we've started building this Snail Trail community and different people, meeting other people from the off-roading community.
Snail Squad.
The Snail Squad. Yes. The llamas. You know, getting other people into podcasts as well with Jason and Chris and then meeting Mike and Max. And I don't know. It's been a really cool year, and it's all just because we have the support of people that want to listen to us talk into microphones. And that make it really fun to run into on the trails and meet at different off-roading events. And I just love the networking part of it. But my networking is for the community rather than what you would typically think of, quote unquote, networking.
No, absolutely. That makes sense. I mean, meeting everybody is a blast, you know.
Yeah.
I'm excited to meet a whole bunch of people down in the San Francisco, Oakland area when I'm doing the tow drive down there this upcoming weekend, you know, and I'll be having Snail Trail stickers out there. So if you're coming out, you know, come say hi, and I'd love to meet you guys. I'll hand you guys a sticker and, you know, make sure you bring a toy for the people that need it.
Yeah.
So, but I agree. Mm-hmm. I love the community that's around us. I love the, you know, all the people that have Jeeps that are still listening to this Toyota podcast, you know, just because, you know, we talk about Toyotas a lot doesn't mean it's all we ever talk about.
Yeah.
But, it's crazy. I think it's wild. It's crazy. I can't believe we're doing it.
We have a Chevy Duramax listener.
One.
Exactly. Yeah. We finally had one that was able to come out of the woodwork and fess up to owning a Chevy.
At least it's not a Dodge.
It's exactly. So,
Chris.
Oh, man. We're thankful for all you guys. Thankful for all the opportunities that the podcast has kind of brought to our doorsteps and the fun things that we get to do with it. And hoping to make things bigger and better and more fun and funner and greater and all sorts of good times for 2020 to come. So,
You know, I have a question out for our listeners.
Okay.
Do
I get to answer it if I can?
You can. Okay. I don't know if it doesn't necessarily, I mean, I think you already know the answers. one thing I was
82.
Thanks.
Okay.
One of the things I was thinking about doing at the end of the year here, and tell me if you would be interested in this, is talking about the financial side of everything that we've kind of going on, and so you guys can get an understanding of that. With a breakdown of YouTube and the podcast and, you know, affiliate links and sponsorship deals and things like that. I didn't know, you know, like, I want to be transparent on these things. Uh-huh. Like, because, I mean, we're doing this for fun, but we are kind of doing it as, you know, to semi-career base. And I'm doing it as a career for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, but if it's something you guys would want to know about Snail Trail 4x4, let us know. And if we have an overwhelming amount of interest, we'll be more than happy to open the books and talk about it.
Yeah. I think that'd be cool. I know that there's some podcasts out there that talk about the back end business stuff.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. And I know that some people really enjoy that part of it. So, yeah, let us know if you guys are interested in that. We got nothing to hide. We want to be super transparent and let you guys know what's going on if you want to know what's going on. So, yeah. Cool. The December giveaway. Well, let's start with the November giveaway.
Yes.
So that is as of we have not done the drawing yet.
Nope.
It'll be announced on the next podcast. So this Thursday's episode this week will be the announcement for the winner of the Freedom Ropes synthetic winch line and soft shackles. So be watching on Instagram between now and Thursday to see the live announcement.
Yes, definitely.
So if you're interested in watching the live announcement, it'll be there. So check that out. You still, I guess, as of hearing this episode, you cannot get in on that one anymore.
No, it is now closed, but you can get into the December giveaway, which is going to be a whole bunch of things, many options or opportunities to win. You know, one of the things we're looking at doing is getting a bunch of gifts and things of that nature. We are also going to be, it's going to be open to other avenues for people to be winning besides the Patreon account.
Yeah.
You know, Instagram people can get in there. Facebook people can get in there. But we are going to be, we haven't finalized how to run it all yet. But we are going to give a bonus or a boost to people that are a Patreon.
Correct.
Members.
Correct. So be watching for that. We'll hopefully have that announced either on Thursday's episode or Monday's episode, one or the other. We'll get the details worked out. And then we're still working on the venue for the meetup. So if you guys are interested in that, please shoot Jimmy and I an email. Jimmy at snailtrail4x4.com or Tyler at snailtrail4x4.com, and that'll help kind of give us a gauge of interest in how big of a venue we need to get.
Yes.
So, and keep in mind, if you are local or if you're not local, hell, if you drive in from another state, I'll buy you some beer.
Absolutely.
So if you take that much effort to drive in from out of state, outside of California, or get in here from outside of California, we'll buy you a beer. So, but if you're on that top Patreon tier, then your beer and food gets included for the event. So, yeah, I think we'll have the final details for that in the next coming up episodes here. Once we get a venue nailed down, but it's looking like it's going to be the first weekend of January. So if you were going to come out to the event, keep that weekend open. We're not sure what day it'll be yet, Saturday or Sunday. We're looking at that weekend. So, any other updates?
Just another good shout out for the toy drives. I know I kind of talked about that one already.
Yep.
But you know, I'm going to be at the one down in Oakland. We'll put information down in the links below. But there's other ones going around, or going on around us. There's a few up here in Sacramento. The one down in Oakland, I know there's a big one that happens down in like Fresno area.
Yeah, the Valley Toy Drive. Yep, that one's a big one.
A lot of them are like rock crawlers or overlander base. If you're going to drive your rig out there, please make sure that it's street legal.
Yes. Does that mean I can't go because I don't have mud flaps?
Yeah. If you get pulled over, it's your fault.
Yeah.
But yeah, it, you know, if it always feels good to get together, hang out with friends, and mm-hmm. give back to the community. So mm-hmm. it's one of the things that we're going to be a part of this year for sure.
Yep. So I will most likely, I'll either be at Georgetown or Oakland. So I have never been to the Georgetown one yet. So I'm thinking about going up and doing that one just because it's closer. But I might just end up being out at Oakland anyways. So I'll let you guys know when I figure it out this Thursday. I'll know by this Thursday. I'll make a commitment with some one way or another by this Thursday's episode.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay, cool. Anything else?
Nah, I'm ready to hear about Baja.
Oh, man. So with that, my friends, hang tight. We'll be right on back after the break where we get to talk about the Baja meal.
Meal?
Mill.
Mill.
M-I-L.
Mill.
Baja meal.
1,000 in Spanish. I got
si,
it.
Si, senor. Welcome back, ladies, gents, and kiddos, to today's main topic. It's our discussion, our campfire discussion of what happened at the Baja Mil. Do you know what the Baja Mil is?
Yes.
What is it?
The Baja 1000.
Yay, en Español.
En Español.
Yay. So, as you guys know, if you listen to the Baja Prep episode, I went down to Baja for the week.
Yeah.
Around the Baja 1000. And I was not really sure what I was getting into. It was kind of being described to me kind of like Ultimate Adventure is, where I show up in, you know, in Visalia, California at a certain day, a certain time, and then we drive 500 miles down into Baja.
Right. Yeah.
and hang out for a week. And I didn't know what kind of off-roading we're going to be doing, if any at all. I didn't know if we're going to be doing wind camping and what kind of what our shelters were going to look like staying in each night. So it was a trip, man.
I bet.
It was fun.
A long trip.
So it was a long trip, a week. Yeah. I went with my dad.
Cool.
So it was a buddy of his.
Okay.
That goes down each year and multiple times a year down into Baja to hang out.
Cool.
And so the buddy, his name is Tom. So huge shout out and thank you to Tom for kind of putting this all together and coordinating it all, because it was an awesome week. But what we did was Tom used to race with a race team in the Baja 1000 trophy truck.
Ooh,
and
fun.
So it was the Nunley racing team. So Nunley team, whatever it is. So he was a co-driver for most of the time. Nunley, the guy that owned the team, drove most of the time. And Tom was a co-driver a lot of the time. And then during the night sections, they swapped.
Oh, wow.
So the cool thing about Baja, which I didn't realize because I'm used to Ultra 4 rules and Hammer's rules, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you have to have one driver.
Right.
One driver only.
Yeah, no, that's
for
not
the
Baja
trail.
Rules.
It's not Baja at all.
Some teams in Baja will trade drivers off multiple times.
Yeah.
Essentially,
I think they're limited to five.
Okay.
Five driver changes across the 1,000-mile course.
Mm-hmm.
And typically, the course goes from Tijuana all the way to La Paz.
Okay.
And so, La Paz is 50 to 100 miles, something like that, before Cabo.
Right.
Right at the tip there.
So,
of Baja.
Almost all the way down
so
to the bottom.
Almost the entire Baja Peninsula. And so, it started out with like a kind of like Hammers did, where there was just a group of guys and they were like, hey, I'll race you from here down to La Paz and we'll see who gets there first.
Right.
And with Hammers, it was kind of like, hey, let's, you know, let's go here and here and let's do it in a race style with the OG 13. So, so it was kind of fun to hear about the history of the Baja and then kind of what it's morphed into. It's the 52nd year of Baja. And during the economy crash in 2007-2008, they changed it up so that they were not running from Tijuana to La Paz anymore. So because it just became too expensive to pay for all the chase trucks, all the chase crews, all the pit crews and everything to spread out over this the whole peninsula, right?
Sure.
So every other year, they do a shortened race up in the San Felipe Ensenada area, so the northern half of Baja. So this year, that was the race. It was about 800 miles, 850 miles from Ensenada down the coastline, the Pacific coastline, then cut across up through San Felipe, through a few washes, through the mountains, and then back around to Ensenada.
Okay.
So about 850 miles, and they have 36 hours to finish.
Wow.
So 36 hours to do this course. And I got to drive on, I don't know, 100 miles of the course, 200 miles of the course throughout the week.
Oh, that's sweet.
So it was a lot of fun. We kind of started in San Felipe. And, you know, I'm getting down there. Well, let's back up. So I meet up with Tom. So I meet up with Tom to head down there. Mm-hmm. And all I knew from Tom was that he had a Chevy 1500 with 37-inch tires and two-wheel drive.
Right.
That's all I knew.
Yeah.
So
that's all I knew.
I was expecting kind of a Brodozer-style truck, right?
Yeah, I was expecting, just a lifted Chevy pickup.
Yeah, a lifted Chevy pickup. And I get down there, and he's got it on a trailer. And we meet him in the morning at 4 a.m., as we're leaving Visalia, and
trailer?
The truck that he's taking?
The Chevy,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
So he pulled his Chevy truck with a Ford.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He had an F-350 that he was pulling his Chevy 1500 with, but his Chevy 1500 was not your typical lifted truck.
No, it didn't look like it from the photos I saw.
It was on 37-inch tires, super, super beefy, long travel IFS.
Right.
Trailing arm, thank you. Trailing arm, rear suspension, triangulated. And then he had triple bypass King shocks and remote reservoir King coilovers on the trailing arms. And then remote reservoir King coilovers on the front suspension.
Okay.
And then he had it.
And so you're a rock crawler.
So I'm a rock crawler.
You were in Green Eggs and Ham.
I was in the 4Runner, the second gen 4Runner, Green Eggs and Ham.
Some very slight mods that we had done previously, which we discussed.
Uh huh.
And you're going down with more or less a Baja style truck.
I'm going down. This truck could race in the Baja 1000 and finish.
Right.
It was 19 inches wider than me.
Oh, man.
So it had a Ford 9-inch axle completely, or Ford 9-inch housing that had been customized and extended on each side by like 8 inches on each side.
Wow.
And so he had that backbone truss on it, Detroit locker in the rear, open in the front, you know, IFS two-wheel drive. So just on spindles. He had the 5.3-liter engine in it, so the V8. And I asked him, you know, what mods has he done to the engine and everything. He goes, I've kept it pretty stock because I want to keep it street legal. I want to be able to register it and drive it around town if I really want to.
Oh, wow.
I was like, God, how many looks do you get when you drive around town? He goes, a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Fiberglass fenders. The hood was stock, and the cab was stock, and the grill was stock.
Right.
Everything else completely custom.
Wow.
And so there was no bed. It was a tube frame chassis that held the fiberglass fenders on, with two spare tires sitting in the back of it that hang out the back, you know.
And he's Baja got a
40-gallon fuel cell back there, and
jeez.
And his toolbox.
Right. Yeah.
So, and that was it. So it's a
So I'm picturing in my head, and not to jump too far ahead, but you driving down a dirt road in Baja.
On leaf springs. Monotube shocks, no bump stops.
Right. And this guy driving down a road.
With a 22 RV. Yeah,
he's in Baja.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And one of you is way, way, way ahead of the other.
Oh, way, way ahead. Absolutely. Yeah.
And one of you is in a death cab, rattle can sort of vehicle on a bumpy road.
Yes, for that style of terrain, absolutely.
Yeah. Uh-huh. All right, let's go. That's super funny. Okay, yeah. So you met Tom in Visalia. You saw his truck, and you were like, Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. We're going to be doing a lot of pre-running.
I don't know. I have no idea what I was getting myself into.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, his truck, I mean, it had a full interior cage and the cage was all done beautifully. It's one of the best interior cages I've ever seen. Most of it was all hidden behind all the interior paneling.
Oh, wow.
So the only thing that you could see that there was a cage in there was there was bars right at the seat level at every seat in the doors.
Wow.
But otherwise, it looked completely stock inside. And there was a bar across the back of the front seats for the harness, right? For the 4-point harness. So, so I'm just like, oh my God. And it's like a $300,000 truck. Like,
yes.
So anyways, so I'm like, okay, well, this is what I'm getting myself into. Uh-huh. All right, whatever. Let's do it. I'm driving.
At least you guys go the same speed down the freeway.
Yeah, we did. I actually went a little bit faster. So, which was kind of cool. But it's still, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So we get down there and the first night we get, you know, it took us 11 and a half, 12 hours to drive down all the way from Visalia.
From Visalia to?
So it's another to San Felipe.
Okay.
So went down 395 and then at San
Bernardino. How'd you get over to 395?
I went down Highway 99 to one 15? Of the one, right? 58 out of 58? Bakersfield.
Yeah.
So we took 58 over to 395, took that down to San Bernardino. They went down through Palm Springs, Palm Desert, Indio.
Okay.
And then down the left side of Johnson Valley, so not 247, there's a Highway 10, I think it is. Highway 10 goes down south of Johnson Valley and just west of Johnson Valley. So we took that down, and then we took that from there down into Mexicali.
Okay.
So we went into Calexico and then Mexicali from across the border there. And then we went down into San Felipe, and we got to San Felipe. Let's see, we left Visalia at 4 a.m. We got to San Felipe right about 3:30 p.m.
Dang.
So, and that was with a couple stops. It was a long day. But we got there and kind of started looking around and got set up. And then we went out to dinner, got tacos.
Did you go to a hotel?
No. So Tom's buddy, whose also name is Tom,
okay,
owns a house down there in a gated community in San Felipe, right on the shore.
Oh,
like, literally, we walk out, and it's two rows of houses, and then the shore. And nobody's got yards, so it's just a house, road, house, shore. So we were there in the gated community. Interesting fact about the gated community, there's a little sand dune right outside the gated community that everybody plays on the weekends. That sand dune is where Pistol Pete died.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they all knew Pistol Pete really well, all these guys that I was hanging out with for the week and the weekend. So,
dang.
So I got to hear the story of that tragic accident of Pistol Pete and how he's no longer with us anymore.
Dang.
So, that was a sombering moment when I heard that, and noting that it happened right there in front of me where I was. So we were there in San Felipe, went out to dinner, had a good time, just relaxed for the rest of the evening, because the next morning is when we were going to then start our journey and our adventure down to the Baja Sur border. So the southern half of Baja, we're going to go to that border there and then come all the way back up to San Felipe, which is 800 miles loop that we were going to do.
Dang. So kind of a Baja 1000.
Almost a little, our own little mini Baja 1000 over the course of 4 days, with the goal to be back in San Felipe by Friday evening to watch the race, the Baja 1000, come through San Felipe.
Okay.
So we're heading down, and our first stop Tuesday morning, we wanted to go out and play. Sorry, Monday morning, we wanted to go out and play through an area called Agua Caliente and Matomi Wash.
Okay.
So Matomi Wash is a really, really cool place. It's just a place where a stream, a river bed washes through out of the mountains.
Like once a year?
Like once a year, maybe, if that. But they send the Baja 1000 through there when it's on the short loop, the 850-mile course.
Crazy.
Every year.
Okay.
And so we didn't ended up not going through it on Monday because I had some issues.
From the drive?
Not from the drive down. The 4Runner made it down beautifully, no problems. But leading up to that, there's some pre-running that you get to do before you get to the Metomi Wash.
Okay.
And so we went through it all, and there was not a ton of whoops as we were going in, but enough that I was bottoming out on my shocks.
Okay.
Because the big issue, and I was bottoming out my shocks like no matter what I tried to do, no matter mm-hmm. how slow I tried to go, I kept coming off of a whoop and hitting the next one. My back end would dig down and bottom out in my rear shocks.
Okay.
So I don't have bump stops.
Nope.
And I'm set up for slow speed rock crawling. So I'm set up for tons of down travel. I've got 17, almost 18 inches of down travel.
Right.
And like 2 inches of up travel.
Yeah.
Three maybe.
Yeah. And you should have done the sand episode while we were gone so we could talk about the difference of sand and rock crawling where sand, you want up travel.
Uh-huh.
You want pretty much as much up travel as you do get down travel.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so... Yeah.
So I was going, and my other thing was that I had my spare tire, and it was on my tire carrier on my receiver hitch.
Right.
So having 160, 170 pounds of tire that far out away from the axle was leveraged. Adding a lot more leverage every time I went over a bump or a whoops or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it got to the point where... we did that, and then we got on the main race course right there in San Felipe, mile 500, and we followed that for a little bit. And that was really fun. That was kind of cool to be on the race course and see. It was in really, really loose sand.
Okay.
Back up. So dinner Sunday night.
Sure.
Because I met somebody on the race course on Monday that I met Sunday night. So we pulled up to dinner on Sunday night.
Yeah.
So we got situated in the house. We're like, okay, let's go get some dinner. We went down to the Malecon, which is kind of like the main downtown street.
Sure.
Right on the water's edge where all the shopping, everything is. So I went down to the Malecon and got some dinner. We pull in to some parking spaces, and there were some Americans it's just a big open eating spot area. And so Americans were sitting there. And a couple of them were turned back and like glaring at me almost. Like, and I couldn't tell if they were looking at me or the Chevy.
The Chevy probably.
Because, well, the Chevy's a head turner, but I just look so out of place down there, right? Because
you're a tall white guy?
No, the truck. Sorry, the 4Runner. So I didn't, because we pulled in yet. We weren't out of the vehicles yet.
Right.
So we start pulling in, and they immediately, one of the guys, especially one of them, was just kind of looking back and just kind of like looking, and he was obviously staring at us.
Yeah.
But you could tell that they were there for the race. They were there for the Baja 1000.
Right.
So like, they're a race team. They should be used to seeing these vehicles. I'm not sure why they're staring us down.
Right.
And so I was like, I don't know. I mean, he has a freaking nice truck, and I'm way out of my league, out of place here in Baja in a rock crawler. So I was like, okay, whatever. So I just kind of, you know, we went past him and sat at the table kind of next to them.
Mm-hmm.
And we ordered our food, and we're getting our food, and we're eating, and they're getting up now. Their group of 7 or 8 people are getting up. And one of the guys comes over and he goes, "Hey, whose 4Runner is that over here?" I was like, "Oh, that's mine." He goes, "Dude, how long have you had that?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah, I've had it a few months." He goes, "Did you buy it from somebody in Ridgecrest?" I said, "No, I got it from somebody in Vacaville." He goes, "Oh, I have a buddy in Ridgecrest who has one that looks exactly like that."
Huh.
And I was thinking for a second, I was like, this guy looks familiar.
Oh, yeah.
But I couldn't figure out what it was, who it was. And so I was like, "Oh, what's your buddy's name?" He goes, "Brian." I was like, "No, I don't know anybody named Brian in Ridgecrest."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Are you guys here for a race team?" They're all, "Yeah, we are actually." I said, "Okay, cool. What are your names? So which team are you here for?"
Mm-hmm.
And the guy says, "Oh, I'm Texas Jesus."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Son of a bitch, I knew it."
That's awesome.
So, Yeah, so I got to meet Texas Jesus. And for those who don't know, Texas Jesus is one of the big names in Ultra 4.
Mm-hmm.
He's up there with like Dave Grohl.
Yes.
So Texas Jesus was there. I got to meet him. That was really cool. He goes, Texas Jesus is like, oh, that's where I know you from. He goes, wait, you know who I am? I was like, yeah, of course I know who you are. He goes, okay. And so I start going online. I'm like, okay, what are you guys' names? This next guy goes, oh, Bailey. And I'm like, in my head, I just immediately shut off. And I was like, oh my God, I'm pretty sure that's Bailey Cole.
Uh-huh.
That's Bailey Cole. And I was like, that's Bailey Cole. I'm shaking hands with Bailey Cole right now. This is amazing. And like, I went down the line to shook the rest of the people's hands that were there. I was like, hey, I'm Tyler. And the whole, I totally blanked on the rest of everybody else's names once I said hi to Bailey. And so the only thing I could think of in my head was, okay. Don't say something stupid.
Right.
Say something cool. Don't say something stupid. I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah, my name's Tyler. Yeah, we're down here for the Baja. I'm just hanging out. You know, I run a Toyota podcast. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
And so Bailey was kind of cool about it. He goes, oh, really? No way. What's the podcast? And I was like, uh-huh. Snapchat 4x4. And so we started talking about the podcast a little bit. And I never, like, I was completely like in shell shock and like really? A deer in the headlights.
That's so funny. That's unlike
that,
you.
That I know. I don't know. And so I never like acknowledged to him that he was Bailey Cole.
Sure.
I was just like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, Bailey. But my whole time in my head, I'm like freaking out. I'm like, I don't know what to
do. I think I would be more in shell shock if it was Bailey Campbell.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
But anyway, so
that's cool. I've met Bailey before.
Yeah,
he's a really cool guy. And
cool
is Texas Jesus his co-pilot?
He was.
Okay.
Yes, for
so I've met both of them. I met him 2 years ago at the national event.
Okay.
And I was walking around Bailey's rig just checking it out, and Texas Jesus was there, and we were talking about it.
Yeah.
And then Bailey Cole comes walking around the corner, and he's like, "Hey," and I'm like, "Hi, how are you? How's going on?" You know.
Yeah.
I mean, they're people. They're down to earth. They're relaxed.
Absolutely.
They're chill. They're big names, but they're, you know, once again, they're just normal people for the most part. So
so
it was really cool.
It was really cool to meet them. And hopefully they'll start listening to the podcast, and we'll have to see if we can get Bailey on, because he mentioned something about owning a few Toyotas in his past.
Oh, cool.
So,
yeah.
So we'll see. Hi, shout out to you guys. So,
yes.
Quick update on Texas Jesus and Bailey Cole.
Yeah.
They won their class of the Baja 1000.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So
were they doing side by side?
No, they did the Dynatrack. JT, the Gladiator.
Oh, cool.
So they drove the Gladiator for the Baja 1000.
Wow.
And they won their class.
Awesome. So congratulations,
724F was their car number, and they won the 7F division of Baja 1000. So a huge shout out to those guys. Congratulations. The next day, Monday, as we're going through the race course, right?
Uh-huh.
Fast forward now.
Did you get bumped?
No. But what happened was I was hearing this knocking coming from underneath my the rig.
Okay.
And I was like, God, what is that knocking? I don't like it. It's not a good noise.
Yeah.
And so I passed Bailey and one of the people that was there pitting with him. And they were in a side-by-side pre-running the course and checking out the course around San Felipe. And so they were pulled off to the side looking at maps and everything. And I came through around a corner. Had Sam on my brakes because it was like at this really tight bottleneck with a really steep whoops, and they were parked just on the other side of the whoops, but off to the side.
Okay.
So I'd slowed way down and got past them, and I was like, hey, you guys all good? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're just checking out. I was like, oh, cool. Are you pre-running for the
race?
The race tomorrow or on Friday? And he goes, yeah, we're just checking out the course here around San Felipe, seeing, you know, where we want to go. Well, I was like, okay, cool. Well, cool. Hope to see you guys further on. Nice meeting, seeing you last night. And he goes, yeah, any time. So I go a little further on down. I start hearing this knocking
again. Sure.
I'm like, okay, I got to check this out. So I pull over, and it's really soft sand. I couldn't drive through in two-wheel drive. I had to go into four-wheel drive to do it. But I pull over, and I crawl under the rear, and I'm like, I can't see anything that looks like it's broken.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked my dad to stand on the rear bumper and start jumping up and down to cycle the suspension.
Okay.
And the welds on the crossmember to the passenger side frame rail broke off.
Oh, no
way. So the crossmember that holds my shocks.
Yeah.
So the welds broke. And it was right. like,
and
it was
I think like the we should point out, crack. We should point out that that is an added, that
an added cross member
has been added mm-hmm. to there, that it's has a bunch of mounting spots mm-hmm. to be able to mount your shocks in different locations, but your mm-hmm. shock is, your shocks are triangulated in and uh-huh. pretty much at the furthest end points uh-huh. possible. So you couldn't
so
squeeze
that I get
them
a
in
lot,
more
I,
to get more ground clearance.
Yeah. I couldn't travel. Get any more up travel yeah. and ground clearance. And so with them bottom with my
truck bottoming out all the time,
bottoming on the shocks all
it
the time,
broke the welds.
It broke the welds on the frame rail on the passenger side.
Damn. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I was like, okay, I brought a welder with me, mm-hmm. But we left it at the house. So when we packed up Monday morning, we packed as if we were not coming back to the house until Friday afternoon.
Okay.
And so what we were trying to do, because we were doing, we tried to take as much weight out of the vehicle as we could, because I was bottoming out Sunday night when we went and played a little mm-hmm. bit near the dunes. Mm-hmm. And so, we took out, the extra camping supplies, so I brought some extra food and a camp stove just in case, because I didn't know what we would be doing for food the whole time. I took out our camping chairs. I took out a bunch of my tools, because he had a full tool set in his truck.
Okay.
And then I took out the ready welder, because he goes, in all my years, 22 years of coming down here, I've never needed a welder. And I was like, okay. So I took yeah. the welder out, left it at the house. And sure enough, we ended up needing a welder the first day.
That's funny.
So,
what about the saw?
The saw, I didn't take it.
Oh. Okay. Did you end up wanting to use it at some point?
There was a point when we were staying in Punta Bufeo, which is down near Gonzaga.
Okay.
That I wanted to use. I wish I had one, but
okay.
It was not a biggie. We just didn't stay out that late. So.
Sure.
So we ended up calling our trip short that day, which is why we didn't get to go to Metomi Wash mm-hmm. on Monday. And went back into town, and there's a professional welder. He does great work in town, and he'll charge you like $20 to $40
okay.
maximum. I said, okay, cool. So we went back into town, and we met the guy, and I'm like, hey, broken welds, you know, mm-hmm. how much to fix it? And he's kind of looking at it, and he goes, yeah, it can be fixed, but I can't really get the inside of this one because your gas tank is on the other side, and I can't reach far inside. So no matter what we weld, you're probably going to break it again. I was like, okay, well, what can we, is there anything we can do to strengthen it? He goes, yeah, we can put an extra plate in here and brace the whole cross member, triangulate it so that it's mm-hmm. braced, so it's just has more support. And we can do that on both sides. You don't have to worry about it. I was like, okay, cool, that'd be awesome. So he did all the welding, had it all done in like 5-10 minutes, charged me $40.
Okay.
And we're good to go. So we got that fixed, and after that, it was getting to be a little late in the afternoon to get back to the house and get the welder and everything. So we ended up staying one more night there. Did we? No, we didn't. We left. We went down to Punta Bufeo Monday night.
Oh, wow.
So Punta Bufeo is a roughly two-hour drive from south of San Felipe.
Okay. On roads.
No, we didn't. We stayed. Hold on. Let me look at my notes. So, yeah, after I got the cross member welded up and fixed, then we just headed on down to Gonzaga, Punta Bufeo.
Okay.
For dinner and to stay for the night.
And how far was that?
That's roughly an hour and a half, 2 hour drive on pavement.
Okay.
So, it's just right down Highway Mexicali 5.
Sure.
So Highway 5 for Mexico. And so we went down there to Punta Bufeo. We got there like at 8 o'clock at night because we had to go back and deal with my issues. But what we...
That's normal.
That is true. Dick. So before we left, though, we decided that it would be better for me to not have a spare tire on the back of my vehicle.
Okay.
On the back of the 4Runner. So we took out, he has two spare tire carriers on his pre-runner.
Sure.
So we took out one of his spare tires and he carried my spare tire and his spare tire.
Okay.
So that ended up working out really well. Once I had that spare tire weight
gone
off of the way back of sticking out the back end of the 4Runner, mm-hmm. The 4Runner worked way better.
Got it. Okay.
I still, if I just had bump stops, it would have made for an awesome week. But Without that tire back there, it did make things a hell of a lot better. So we drove down to Gonzaga and Punta Maffeo, where we stayed that night. And that's a really interesting area.
Yeah, I haven't been over there.
So that place there, it's on the Gulf side. Mm-hmm. You come out of these mountains, and it's like this big flat area between two mountains.
Okay.
And it's
in a valley?
Not really a valley. It's almost like just a big playa.
Okay.
Like a massive playa that's split up into many little playas, beach areas and camps called puntas.
Okay.
So this one was Punta Maffeo, and they own like almost all that land there.
Who's they?
The family that owns Punta Maffeo.
Oh, okay.
Owns almost all the land between those two mountains, those two mountain ranges. As you come out of the mountains on the San Felipe side and to just south of Gonzaga.
Wow.
So it's this massive area that they own almost all that land out there. And they've had developers offer to buy it from them for these massive prices, and they refuse to sell.
Sure.
Because they want to keep it, you know, just the way they want it, have something to give to their kids and something that their kids never have to worry about. So
that's awesome.
It's a really cool, homey feel, down-to-earth place. And so the family owns a couple different places there.
Yeah.
So one family owns the hotel and a mm-hmm. restaurant and a couple other things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we stayed at the hotel that is the Punta Maffeo hotel area.
Okay.
And we went to the restaurant, and we just know it as Luis's restaurant. So Miguel owns the hotel. Luis owns the restaurant.
Okay.
They're brothers. And so that restaurant... the best, hands down, chicken fajitas I've ever had.
Ooh, nice. Okay.
Amazing. So we went there for dinner and to stay the night. Woke up in the morning on Tuesday morning and headed down to Coco's Corner.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, Coco's Corner, for those who don't know, there's this guy, he has no legs. He's mm-hmm. missing two of his legs at his knees. Knees okay. down or gone.
Yeah.
So he's in a wheelchair, and he just lives in this piece of property that has the only two roads within like 200 square miles come through.
Right.
Right there at that corner.
Uh-huh.
And so it's been named now Coco's Corner because that's the guy's name is Coco.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he shows up on all the maps. It's a town. It's a location. Yeah, it's a location. It's a destination.
Yeah.
So really cool place. He has beer cans all over the place, like on the fence for decorations and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then you know how we've talked about it in the past, oh my God, what's the bar in Georgetown?
In Georgetown?
Outside of Georgetown, sorry.
Tom's place?
Tom's Cabin.
Yeah.
Uncle Tom's?
Uncle Tom's, yeah.
So Uncle Tom's has dollar bills hanging all over it, right?
Yeah.
Coco's Corner has panties and bras hanging all over the inside.
That's awesome. I think I've seen photos of that.
Yeah. He's just a paraplegic dude that's mm-hmm. hanging out and has a really good time and loves life and loves meeting people and hanging out with people. And so you can buy a cold beer there and just hang out with him and chill and talk with him for a while. And he's just really cool.
Speak
guy.
English pretty well?
Not really.
Broken.
Broken. Yeah. Very broken English. You'd be better off if you know any Spanish, probably talking Spanish.
Yeah. Did you run into many issues not knowing much Spanish?
No, because Tom knew enough Spanish, the guy with the Chevy.
Yeah.
And then, I had 3 or 4 years of Spanish in high school and college.
Right.
And then I worked at a place that we had a lot of Mexican, customers.
Okay.
During high school as well. So I know enough Spanish to get around and mm-hmm. communicate needs from a customer
right.
standpoint. Tom helped a lot with translations.
Yeah, I always say, because if people go, oh, do you speak Italian anymore? I always say, I know enough Italian to get myself into trouble, but not enough to get me out of it.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. So, so we went and...
How long did you stay at Coco's Corner?
About an hour.
Okay.
It's about an hour. So Tom knows Coco, because Tom's been going down there for 22 years,
yeah.
right? So... He's on, you know, first name basis with Coco, and mm-hmm. Coco knows him. And so they were chit-chatting it up, and I was just looking around, admiring everything at that property.
Then it's just like a craziness of all kinds of randomness from what I've heard and seen.
He has a seating area out in the middle of the property that is toilets.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's just eight toilets kind of in a circle.
That's funny.
On a like a green astroturf almost with umbrellas around.
That's
and
hilarious.
You just hang out on the toilets and hang out with people that show up there.
Ah, that's awesome. What a character.
There's a few other things kind of like that. It's just like, really? That's awesome. But I would have never have thought of doing it that way.
Right.
So yeah, Coco is actually, I just heard from the other Tom, the Tom that owns the property that we first stayed at,
mm-hmm.
that he is going to be going and moving up to San Felipe and leaving Coco's Corner.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Health reasons?
Not really health reasons. He's just getting old, and he's just not getting enough traffic, foot traffic there anymore. So the main reason why he was there was going to be like a destination kind of thing, and they're building a highway there, not through his corner. It's about 70 miles out of his corner.
Got it.
But because they're building a highway across,
people
are now
going to
take the highway, and they're not going to go through his area anymore.
Right.
So he's talking about moving back up to San Felipe, and that might be happening in the next year.
Oh,
so
wow.
6 months to a year.
So I need to get down there while he's still there.
Uh-huh. So all if right. you have not been to Coco's Corner and that's on your bucket list, you need to do that like ASAP. So in the morning before we went to Coco's Corner, we stopped at the market there in Gonzaga to get breakfast items.
Okay.
And we ran into a group of guys on side-by-sides, and they stayed at the resort, the La Fancina. And apparently, Malcolm Smith owns some property right there next to La Fancina. Malcolm Smith is the godfather of... He was like one of the original five people that started the Baja 1000.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
So he's regarded as the godfather of the Baja 1000 and the godfather of the guy that has created most of the off-roading trails in Baja.
Oh,
and
wow.
all the pre-running trails in Baja. Okay. So he owns a property. He happened to be down there while these guys were... there.
Right.
And he took them on a personal tour the day before up into the hills and stuff.
Wow.
And side by sides. And he's like 80 years old. And the guys were all, dude, he still was ripping faster than we could go through everything. And
that's awesome.
So, to get a personal guided tour of Baja from Malcolm Smith is like, that's huge stuff. So I was pretty jealous of that.
That's rad. Congrats to them.
Yeah. Congrats to them. And they were from Oregon, so they all came down from Oregon, drove down for the week. So anyways, ran into those guys, went over to Coco's Corner, got to hang out with Coco for a while. And then from there, we went over to Nuevo Rosarito. And we had to get there from Coco's. You have to go through a section called the Calamaway Wash. And so this wash is incredible as well. It was like the Metomi Wash, but less rocks.
Okay.
So it's super narrow. There's actually water still in the wash. So you're kind of crossing back and forth over this stream.
Oh, fun.
In a gorge that's 50 feet tall on either side of you and 100 to 150 feet wide.
Yeah.
But you're just going for what seemed like forever through this wash, the Kalamaway Wash, and following these super narrow trails in between these massive ferns and palms and everything. And then you get out, and all of a sudden you come out into this, I don't know, we had 80 miles or so of landscape that looked like something out of Jurassic Park or something, but like a deserty Jurassic Park.
They were going to say like a jungle?
No, like what do you, it was a cactus jungle.
Oh, really?
We were surrounded by miles and miles of these cactuses that were 40 to 50 feet tall.
Wow.
All around us. And I was just like, what is this?
That's rad.
And that trail, that section that day was a lot of fun because there weren't a whole lot of whoops, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I could really kind of let the 4Runner go and get up to
30 to 50 miles an hour in these super narrow trails that are barely wider than the 4Runner
with
these 40 to 50 foot tall cactus on either side.
Yeah.
And that was really cool. So coming through the Calamaway Wash from Coco's Corner down to Nuevo Rosarito, awesome drive. Highly recommend it to anybody.
How did the hydro assist work for you you were doing those things?
I had a lot of issues. I don't want to say a lot of issues. I had issues with the rig throughout the week. The one thing that I never had any issues with at all and stayed beautiful and perfect the entire time was the steering.
Okay.
So I was literally able to sit back and go through these super narrow things that had tight turns and everything and with one hand on the steering wheel and turn really quick. Yeah. Like, I really wish I had a suicide knob.
Okay.
So that I could be turning as quick as I could to do that. But the hydro assist was beautiful.
Cool.
So it worked awesome. It worked great. I was excited about it. My dad was not as excited about it because I ended up driving a lot with only one hand on the steering wheel.
Yeah.
And he goes, "You're making me really nervous. Can you put two hands on the steering wheel?" So we're ripping through these narrow sections at 30 to 40 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the steering was awesome.
Cool.
I never had bolts loosen up, nuts loosen up. It never really overheated, which I thought was surprising. I thought for sure I would have overheated the steering.
So you, I mean, we discussed on previous podcasts about how you had suspension components coming loose. Mm-hmm. Did you continuously check, and were things continuously coming loose?
Yes. In the suspension components, they were. I checked my suspension and steering every day.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, or if I was dead tired because we got in late, I checked it the next morning before we took off.
Yeah.
And every day the suspension components were loose, but the steering stayed rock solid the whole time.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. With split washers, Nylocks, and Loctite, red Loctite. So, all
right, so something's going on there.
Something's going on. I don't know what it is, but I'm just kind of like, yeah, I'll just kind of deal with it until we three link it.
Yeah.
Keep checking it. So anyways, we ended up the day down at this a section of 15 miles of a beach.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just go along these beaches and get up on these cliff edges on the Pacific side. It's about 15 miles, and they're great surfing areas.
Sweet.
So there's surfers that come down, just hang out for months at a time down there. And we ran into a few of the surfers and just had a good time with them, joked around with them and everything. And I really wanted to get down to the end where apparently surfers get a lot of time on their hands when there's no surfing going on.
Sure.
When there's no waves.
Yeah.
And so they take all these rocks, because littered with rocks all along these 15 miles, and they make stuff out of these rocks.
Okay.
So they've made, apparently there's a spot where they made a big ass wall with a barbecue pit built into the wall. And like a cutting board area to fillet fish at in this wall.
Random.
And a couple of other things. And they like started painting this wall and everything. I'm just like, so Tom was telling me all about it. And he goes, "I don't know, man. Surfers, they're crazy and they have a lot of time on their hands. So this is what they do apparently down here."
Weird.
But we ended up not getting all the way down to the surfer wall.
Okay.
Because we just ran out of daylight and we were only about halfway through the 15 miles, not even halfway, maybe a quarter way through the 15 miles. So we just went back up and around, back out to the highway and down to our hotel for the night at Nuevo Rosarito.
Nice. Okay.
So that was Tuesday. Wednesday, we woke up at our hotel in Nuevo Rosarito, and it was pouring rain.
Oh, no.
Like, pouring. And it had been pouring rain since 2 to 3 a.m. So,
well,
2 to 3 a.m.
it won't be dusty.
No, it wasn't dusty for sure. but that gave us some challenges, because what we wanted to do on Thursday...
And probably no wash driving either.
Mm-hmm. So, what we wanted to do Thursday was...
Good thing you got through the wash that day.
Yeah. We wanted to go back across the peninsula to the Bay of L.A., and then down to San Francisco, and then across the peninsula again, over to Guerrero Negro. And we were going to stay the night in Guerrero Negro. And then from there, Friday, we were going to go from Guerrero Negro all the way back up to San Felipe and get back to San Felipe in time to see the race come through.
Okay.
So that was our plan for Thursday, was to go from Nuevo Rosarito, make this giant loop across the peninsula twice, right? And because of the rain, we got to the Bay of LA, and we decided that there was a lot of sections that had this really like clay, slicky, snotty clay and off camber sections between there and San Francisco that we were not going to be able to do it with his two-wheel drive.
Got it.
So we just had lunch at the Bay of LA, a late lunch, and then turned around and went back up to Gonzaga. At our spot in Punta Bafeo.
Where you kind of were 2 days ago.
Yes.
Got it.
Exactly. So, on our way back, I was getting a lot of squeaking coming from my rear driver wheel.
Okay.
Which is the one that we just changed the wheel bearing on.
Right.
So, I'm sitting here, and I've heard the squeaking accumulating, getting worse and worse and worse. And I was just like, God, please don't be a wheel bearing. Please don't be a wheel bearing. I'm just going to keep going until it falls off or until it becomes unbearable. And it got to the point where it became unbearable. And I was like, okay, I have to pull over. I have to look at it now. It might just be a rock stuck in between the rotor and the
fingers crossed.
The thing. Yeah. I'm like, hopefully it's something little like that. And so I pull it off, and my brake pad was, like, gone.
Oh.
So my brake pad was worn down so much that it had already been bent back once.
Oh.
And which I didn't do.
Yeah.
And so the previous owner did. And this is off of my axles from the first gen. So the first gen, the owner I bought that from, I'm guessing
You never replaced those rear drum pads?
I haven't replaced them.
They're disc brakes on those. Brakes, so yeah.
I haven't replaced them before.
Okay.
And so, the metal thing was bent back, and the brake pad was all the way down to metal on metal. And that metal thing is what was the warning thing is what was making all the noise on the rotor. So I was like,
that's bad and not so bad.
Yeah. So I was like, okay,
I need pads.
Just be light on the truck. I need to get pads. I don't know. It's a disc brake conversion kit from Downey Off-Road, which went out of business in 2002.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't know what discs they are or what caliper the pads are or anything. So I'm like, I don't know. And so I was like, whatever, we'll just kind of run it. I'll be really gentle and I'll sort of roll up all the windows and hopefully ignore the noise until we get back to someplace I can buy parts at. And so we, on our way back, we stopped at the Mission, I think it was Mission de Santa Maria. Yeah, the Mission Santa Maria, which is a beautiful old mission that was built in 1740 originally, and it was done originally in that clay adobe clay style.
So it's still raining.
It was raining, yes, at this time, and they redid it in 1762 using the rock and sandstone from around the area there.
Okay, cool.
So really cool mission, and then the remains of the adobe was still there behind the stone mission. And so that was really cool to see on that day on our way back to our hotel at Punta Bafeo. So we went to bed, hung out for a little bit, and that's where I wish I had had the chainsaw because it was a little windy, a little cold, and they had little fire pits outside. And I was like, God, I wish I had the chainsaw. We can cut up some of the dead trees that are falling and dead shrubbery around to get a fire going in the fire pit. So but we didn't, so we just kind of went to bed, and we woke up Thursday morning, the next morning, and it was beautiful outside.
Okay.
And it's like, Punta Bafeo is right on the water's edge, right?
Nice.
So we're just, wake up, have this beautiful view, it was only like 74, 76 degrees, sunny, bright and sunny, and I looked at the 4Runner, and it was covered in mud. We couldn't see out any of the windows. Because of the day before. Because
it was just dusty and then rainy and...
No, because it was all muddy the day before.
Oh.
From the rain the night before. So on whatever, Wednesday night, we woke up and it was storming. And then we went tromping through the mud all day.
Sure.
And I couldn't see out any of the windows. And I didn't rinse it all off or anything the night before.
Yeah.
And so all the mud was caked on. And I couldn't get it off the windows to open up any of... I couldn't open the back door, the back window to get in the back door, the tailgate area.
Oh, wow.
We couldn't open any of the windows.
That's
crazy.
And
we could barely see out of the driver's side window, out of the windshield.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, all right, lesson learned. If you ever pull in somewhere and you have the ability to, rinse off the mud on your windows before yes. it dries up. So we went out, got breakfast down at the La Fonsina. And that was really cool. Their eating room is completely open. There's no windows in it.
Oh,
for
nice.
Their dining area. So you yeah. just sit there right on the water's edge. You got a cool little breeze coming through. And so we're sitting there enjoying some coffee, mm-hmm. having some huevos, and it starts downpouring.
Oh. No.
Yeah. So it's just pouring almost worse than it was the day before.
Well, at least that might clean your windows.
It did. It loosened it up enough where we were able to go and then take some rags that we had yeah. and get the rest of them cleaned off. And so we're like, all right, well, we're just going back up to San Felipe today. I mean, he yeah. was really worried about getting his $300,000 truck stuck in mud somewhere because it's two-wheel sure. drive. So we're like, all right, we're just going to head back up to San Felipe and hang out Thursday, and then we'll hang out Friday until the race comes through.
Right.
So, okay, so we head back in and... we get going and get back to San Felipe relatively early because we didn't go out and do anything.
Right.
And so I was like, hey, there's an auto zone in San Felipe. So
yeah.
I was like, I want to go and see if I can find some brake pads. So, okay. So I pulled the rear brake pads apart, grabbed the brake pads out of the calipers,
mm-hmm.
and we took them into town to see if we can figure out which ones they were.
Sure. Right.
And the guy there helping us, you know, pulled out a bunch of boxes to look for him, and we couldn't match him up to anything really. So I did some searching. He let me connect to their Wi-Fi in the store there, and I did some searching on my phone.
Oh, cool.
And I found a part number on I Hate Mud.
Yeah.
The forum board. And it was it ended up being a part number for pretty much any 80s GM vehicle or light pickup.
Okay.
So Monte Carlos, Chevy S10s, Jimmys,
mm-hmm.
Any of those vehicles was what this part number was for that brake pad.
Okay.
So I was like, try this part number. Try a 1984 Monte Carlo. So he goes, okay. So he tries the 1984 Monte Carlo, gets the part number. The part number matches
what you had.
What I had. And so he goes and gets a box of them, and he had them there in stock, and he pulls them over, and we compare them, and sure as hell, they were the right ones, right
nice.
Size and everything. So I was like, hells yeah. I was like, okay, cool. Quanto? How much?
Uh-huh.
And he goes, he's looking, he goes, oh, $23. Well, he gave me the pesos. I did the conversion. It was $23. And I was like, yeah. okay, cool. I need two sets. And he goes, because I want to do both my rears. I was like, $46. That's a pretty decent deal for the gold,
mm-hmm.
the Duralast gold, essentially. Which comes with a forever warranty through AutoZone as well. And he goes, oh, no, that is two sets.
Oh, wow.
I was like, what? $23? He goes, yeah. And I was like, deal, okay. And so he goes, are you an AutoZone member? And I said, I don't know. How do we find out? And he goes, what's your telephone number? So I get my telephone number, and I popped up in their system.
Oh, wow.
So we put it down, and I go, now, do I still get the warranty on these through the AutoZone purchase and the Duralast? He goes, I don't know. You should. If it's bought in the system and it lets us put it in the system, you should still get the warranty on them. So
that's crazy.
I was like, okay, cool.
But you're not going to need to replace them for like another 10 years.
You shouldn't need yeah. to. Yeah. And so I took them back and put the brakes in and got everything buttoned up. So
sweet.
And then we went out for dinner again Thursday and had, again, tacos.
No way.
So, yeah. Thursday night was really good, though. We found some Al Pastor place.
Ooh.
And so it was really awesome.
Those are tasty.
Al Pastor tacos were fantastic.
I bet.
And it was at El Poblano's. So if you're in San Felipe, go check out El Poblano's if you want some Al Pastor. Then Friday comes around. Oh, the AutoZone guy, as we're mm-hmm. leaving, he saw Tom's truck because we drove to AutoZone in Tom's Chevy.
Okay, yeah.
And he goes, oh, are you guys racing for the Baja Mil, the 1000? And we said, no, we're just down here. We're going to watch the race. We're just down here hanging out in the meantime,
mm-hmm.
having some fun. And the guy goes, oh, you know it's delayed 24 hours, right? And we're like, oh no, why is it delayed? Is it because of all the rain or something? He goes, yeah. And so he pulled up some videos. So he's a big Baja fan.
Uh-huh.
And he pulled up the announcement on Score's website.
Yeah.
And then he pulled up a bunch of videos of some trophy trucks trying to get through the course outside of Ensenada, which is like what got hit the worst.
Uh-huh.
And it was like all-wheel drive trucks trying to bomb through these mud pits and just bogging down halfway through. And I was like, oh man, if these guys are having that much issue, the two-wheel drives can't even get through at all.
Right.
And so they delayed the race the third time in Baja history.
Oh, wow.
That they've delayed the race.
Okay.
So they delayed it 24 hours to give the course a chance to dry up a little,
mm-hmm.
and to move some of the really bad sections, reroute the course around the really bad sections.
Yeah.
So that's what they did. And so now we hung out all day Friday.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all day Saturday waiting, because now we're like, we were going to come home Saturday, but now we're like, we're not coming home Saturday. We're staying an extra day.
Absolutely. We're
gonna come home Sunday now. And so Friday, we went down and re-ran Matomi.
Okay.
So this time, with everything going decently,
mm-hmm.
We were able to go through, and I was able to make it through the whoops going 7 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And just do up and down, up and down.
How big are they?
Huge. So yeah. They're about as tall as this table.
So, and that's two and a half feet off the ground?
2.5 feet off the ground on average, and 4 feet wide, 5 feet wide.
Between top to top?
Between top to top. Maybe a little bit more.
A wavelength.
There you go. Look at you go. And so, yeah, it was, they were, and those ones, that's what was kind of around the Matomi area.
Okay.
But leading up to Matomi, we went through an area called Agua Caliente.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had two extra guys join us. They came in Thursday night, and they had dirt bikes.
Okay.
And so they were on dirt bikes. We had both Tom's in Tom's truck and his nephew, Sean. And they had me and my dad and a third guy in my 4Runner,
mm-hmm.
going through Agua Caliente, then down through Matomi Wash, and then back at San Felipe.
Okay.
And so this Agua Caliente area, 30, 40 miles of just graded gravel road. And so I just aired down to 14 PSI and just bombed through that road at like 60 miles an hour.
Nice. Tom was going 100.
Tom was actually, he was doing like, any, he would go anywhere from 50 to 80.
Yeah.
And so when he slowed down, I would catch up to him. And then I would catch up to him. He'd go, oh, you're behind me again. He would just take off. But so that was fun. We went through there. The suspension did great. I was able to start figuring out, you know, what speeds I could handle, what size whoops at, and what size dips and bumps before bottoming out the suspension.
Sure.
So we went through there. That was all fun. We got into just before Agua Caliente, maybe 5 to 10 miles, and I hear over the radio, Tom's ahead of us, and he just goes, holy shit, ride her down, he hit a cow. I'm like, excuse me?
Okay.
I was like, was that one of our riders? Like, or was there somebody out pre-running the track on the motorcycle side?
Or what? Yeah.
Yeah, what happened? So he wasn't that far ahead of me. So I caught up, and sure as hell, one of our guys, his bike was down, and he was 20 feet away from his bike getting up out of the dirt. And Tom and Sean were all out of the Chevy helping him get up and pick up his bike and everything. And we're like, what the hell happened?
Yeah.
What happened was we were going down. So we had two dirt bikes.
Yeah.
And one was on one road. And the other one was on the other road, the side road.
Okay.
And when the first one was ahead, went by on the main road, there was a cow sleeping under a tree in between the two roads.
Oh, no.
And so the first dirt bike spooked the cow. It got up and trotted across the second road. And our second dirt bike slammed on his brakes. He was going 45, 50 maybe. Slammed on his brakes, was able to turn sideways, hit the cow sideways with the dirt bike, and then he flew over the cow and the motorcycle like 20 feet.
Oh my gosh. Was he okay?
define okay.
Yeah, I mean,
he didn't have major injuries.
Yeah.
He tweaked his back really bad and his neck really bad.
Okay.
And his shoulder really bad because he went flying over and landed
sideways
on his right shoulder. His whole t-shirt was ripped from his shoulder down to the bottom of his shoulder blade.
Yeah.
But he was conscious. He was shooken up.
Yeah.
And we kept asking him if he was okay. And he goes, I think so. I think so. And then it got to, I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. As the adrenaline's wearing off, he's starting to feel all the pain kicking in. And then he goes, I need to lay down. And we're like, okay, you know, take as much time as you need.
Yeah. How old was the rider?
The rider was mid-40s.
Okay.
Early 40s, mid-40s. So he laid down. I had some ibuprofen with me. So I gave him a bunch of ibuprofen. And we just sat there and had him drink water. We just hung out for about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Just making sure that all the adrenaline was gone so we knew he was okay.
Yeah.
There weren't any major injuries. And so property owner Tom, ended up taking over the dirt bike and riding the dirt bike the rest of the day. And the rider pretty much rode in the Chevy. All right, ladies, gents, and kiddos. So this episode ended up running super long because it was a week-long adventure packed with a lot of stuff going on, a lot of fun details, a lot of racing. So we're going to split it into two episodes. So the first part is today, coming into your ear holes. The second one will come into your ear holes on Thursday of this week. And the next episode here, and Thursday is also when we will be announcing the November giveaway. Correct?
Correct.
Awesome. So, if you have any questions, or I guess you can't get into the giveaway because it's past December 1st now.
Right.
Or past December 1st, so you can't get in the giveaway, so tough luck. Should have been quicker on the draw. You can get a hold of us, though, and ask us any questions, or leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcasting apps, just like something funny. I want to go through and read some, like read random ones sometime.
Yeah.
Like we did during the listener feedback.
Yes.
Show.
We've done it once, that one time. Yeah.
So we can do that again. We'll just kind of go through and pick out random ones. So if you guys go and leave some random reviews or feedbacks on iTunes and ratings, you might get it shouted out on the podcast.
Definitely. I think we should do it.
Cool. So with that, don't forget, send in your trail reports or information about a trail so that we can talk about them on the podcast as some of the trails going on around the country. Don't forget to send those in. And you can send those in to jimmy@snailtrail4x4.com or tyler@snailtrail4x4.com. And then as well, I'm going to be posting a ton of content from Baja on my Instagram over the next couple weeks. So check that out, 4x4 Toyota Tyler. And Jimmy, you can check out at snailtrail4x4.com to see all the YouTube videos that are coming out, giveaway announcements, announcements for the 10,000 subscribers, the 50th episode, the venue, all that's going to get announced as well on the snailtrail4x4 Instagram. I will probably put it up on mine as we go as two, but snailtrail is the main place you're going to find that info. And, of course, the website will have all the info for everything that we do is all around on snailtrail4x4.com. So, with that, my co-host, do you have any final words for everybody?
Down travel.
Down travel. And with that, my friends, keep crawling.
Nice. What do you get when you mix an elephant with a rhino?
I don't know.
Elephino.